Listen and stream the all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5 for the only talk that matter.
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
How are you guys doing? What today is? Sunday, 26th of February.
It's Carnival after Sunday.
So what you just do? Nothing yet?
Well, we're going to be doing some things here this
afternoon. Well, I know
afternoon.
That. I know we have some carnival or culture-oriented.
I suppose people are at the beach.
Yeah, you know, I went to the beach this morning and it was real nice, real clean.
But was it crowded?
No, it wasn't. No, I went early. Okay. I went like about 9 o'clock. So.
I went yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And it was also very nice and calm.
It was calm and clean.
Only about 20 people, but closer to lunchtime, people came
out.
So maybe they're up there now.
Well, yeah, good for them. Hey, Trinidad and Tobago, good afternoon. Going out to the world, wherever you are locked on to Freedom 106.5 FM. This is where you speak your mind, and in your company, it's Carrie V alongside Rudy.
Carrie, I'm so glad to be here. We survived the mass.
Well, I mean, I just really didn't find out it was much of anything.
But I saw you on the truck, though.
You did?
Yes.
No, that wasn't the right me. That was the left me.
Oh, I understand.
Yeah, that was the left me. So
somebody was playing you.
Somebody did. They wanted to be Carrie for a day, and they just say, you know what? Put on a little ras, put on some tattoos on her hand, and jump up on the truck.
And a piece of string.
And two shrinks.
Two.
So, Rudy, I know we just came out of Carnival. We've been hearing a lot
mother.
Of stuff.
The
mother. I call it the stepmother.
Mother-in-law? I don't know. The outside mother.
I don't think it was
the mother of all Carnival.
I saw it as like the stepmother and, you know, you could say the mother-in-law. You know that one mother-in-law everybody do like? Yeah, that one. But I wasn't too fond of it. And I say, you know what? I was correct because I was saying that from since before that I was not even going to get myself involved in it.
Exactly.
Nevertheless, but we have
it
been
happened.
Here. Yeah, it did. And it's gone and now we can talk about it.
Yes.
And guys, if you're now joining us, welcome. This is Love is Love right here on Freedom 106.5 FM where you speak your mind. And you're probably wondering, what is Love is Love? I mean, we've been here like what? Since last year. Love is just what it is. Love is
love.
Love. All right, and I have with me Rudy Hanamji. So Rudy, so for Carnival, I was listening to Kaisorama.
Like me?
Yes, and I was listening to Mr. Gypsy and Brian London, I think his name is. And, you know, a comment was made. It's just a really, really short comment. And they actually spoke that kind of homo thing. I was like,
that's what you're talking about.
I'm talking about that. What were you talking about?
I wonder if the audience picked it up.
I don't know.
Because it's not new. I've been listening to Extempo since I'm 6 years old.
Right.
And ever so often, you hear a verse.
Serious.
You know, it makes you sit up and wonder, hey, they know something I don't know.
But what I'm saying, Rudy, it's our culture.
It is.
Carnival is our culture, all the different events. Mm-hmm. It's part of our culture. Let's talk about our characters, our carnival characters. So like the Dame Lorraine. We even have persons who are heads of the whole costume making and everything.
Designers
and you know, what I'm saying now is that we cherish Carnival so much. We cherish it. And for those of you who do not know, persons from the LGBTQ community are a part of it and they play a very big and important role into the execution of our carnival. And I know, Rudy, you would know the names often. I don't know the names often.
You think so?
Yes, would
you? I feel you know the names, you know.
I just know some. But I mean, persons have been looking down on LGBTQ persons.
Exactly.
Queer persons. Let's say that. Queer persons. Persons have been watching them and turning up the nose, skinning up the eye, and for what reason? But you could be jumping up Monday and Tuesday in this nice feathered beaded costume, but you don't even know who make it.
Did you ask?
No, them don't care.
When you went to register for the costume, did you ask, was this designed by a queer person?
Mm-mm, no.
Was this made by a queer person?
No, you know what I say? Oh God, look at how I'm looking. I'm looking nice and thing.
And when you go to do your makeup and your hair and other things, do you care if the person is queer.
No, well, me,
once
I don't.
Once your face looking good.
Aye, aye, aye.
And it pack.
It well beat.
It beat. And once the hair is in place for the first five pictures. Because after that, it's just the five pictures we're in the beginning.
Right.
After that, crap will smoke your pipe.
So I know we have a lot of queer icons, Rudy, and who have played an integral part in, you know, the execution of Carnival. So such as like the costumes, the makeup, the hair, even some of the band leaders as well, right? And let's quote some names. Wayne Berkeley.
Yes.
Peter Minchell. Yes. Anthony Medina. Christopher Santos. Gregory Medina. And then we have younger ones.
We have younger ones coming up.
Like Valmiki Maraj, Alejandro Gomez. So it's not where it just like just died on just so. We have others coming up. Right?
And we've talked about that on former shows where for different reasons queer persons are naturally members of arts and culture fraternities. Not just here, around the world.
Yeah.
I mean, look at some of the top designers like Tom Ford. You know, Versace, when he was alive. These are queer icons in their own right.
Isn't Victoria's Secret is a man's own, a queer person? Wow.
And in practically every fashion house, even in Brazil Carnival, in other, anywhere you look in theatre, look Raymond Chukong.
Right.
In theatre and the arts. Queer people are in art and in culture, whether we like it or not. And it is time that we acknowledge them. And if we like what they create, we have to advocate for them to be equal citizens as well. Because we can't just take what they give us
and then throw them back in a corner after. Yeah, you're correct. So today, guys, if you didn't know, we are going to speak about Calypso and our culture, and we are going to be discussing if it is contributing to homophobia. Right, so we are discussing culture and homophobia right here in Trinidad and Tobago. And guys, don't forget, you can call me 627-3223, 625-2257. You can even send me a WhatsApp message. Hey, I have a WhatsApp message here, not directly to us, but someone just want to say hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I would like to say hi to my husband, Rajin, and my little baby girl, Sandia. I would like to hear a nice song coming out from his wife, Shamila. That was a previous message earlier on, and I just say, you know what, let me send some love, send some shout-outs to them.
In today's world, we need lots more love.
Yes, we do, and we need to be more kind.
Yes.
Yes? So, Rudy, let's talk. Culture and homophobia. What's your take on it? What do you think about it?
I think that based on our history and our legacy, there is homophobia baked into our culture. We've talked about the macho components of culture. We've talked about the patriarchy. We've talked about the effect of religion.
Right.
We've talked about the misperceptions about women and whether they are the weaker sex, and if anything is effeminate, it is therefore weaker than male. So people don't have to go too far if they are honest and open to admit that in Caribbean and Trinidad and Tobago culture, there is some baked-in homophobia. And we saw it up to this carnival where there was a video of allegedly a trans person enjoying themselves, a trans woman in the mass.
That was circulating, And nobody know, and everybody whining normal.
But at some juncture, somebody, advised their friend. First of all, we don't know. Well, we are going on the presumption that the person identifies as a trans woman. So just to correct people out there, if indeed she does identify as a trans woman, the friend who said, "That's a man," was not accurate.
Right.
On the other hand, I know of gay men who dress in drag for carnival.
No, well, I know coming to that because, I mean, yes, I play in juvie. Mm-hmm. And sometimes there are men, you know, dress up as women. And in addition to that, remember? Rudy, of course I do. And in addition to that, Rudy, on Christmas morning, mm-hmm. either Christmas morning or New Year's morning, it is a popular football competition. Men in heels. Playing yes. football in heels and dresses yes. and things. So I know they may bring it across as like a joke or something, but wouldn't that raise an eyebrow to you?
Well, that's the point, is that initially people are expressing themselves. They are having their fun.
Right.
After all, it is carnival. The problem arises when violence takes place. Mm. So let us say you do find yourself whining on either a man in drag or a trans woman,
mm-hmm.
and for whatever reason you realize what is really going on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad to see that in the video, the men did not respond violently at that point in time. But there have been incidents where people have become very emotional about it,
right.
and they may have resorted to violence.
Mm.
But what was violent about that was the video comments on the video.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you go back to social media and you look at some of the comments from Trinidadians, people were actually calling for violence. People were saying things to the effect that is wrong, and the person deserve a cuff or etc. etc. So that is the issue. So I'm saying that baked into the culture, there is this irony that we play with queerness, especially during carnival.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
it is deemed as like okay.
Well, that's it. It's so situational. It's so contextual. But why is it okay during carnival, but then at another time of the year, you have a big problem with it? We have to be consistent about these things.
True.
So yes, there is homophobia baked into it. And I think, as you said, as we go through some of the artifacts we have with us today, people will understand where we're coming from.
Because I understand that we have someone will be joining us soon.
Oh, yes.
Would you like to introduce her?
So we are hoping to be able to connect, technology allowing, with Rubadari Victor.
Mm-hmm.
And some of our listeners out there might know his name. He is the head of the Artist Coalition of Trinidad and Tobago. And he has spent practically all his life in the arts, in every form of art and culture you could think of. He's assisted the government and stakeholders in developing national plans. So he's studied this.
Mm-hmm.
And he also has deep-rooted knowledge of our history.
Right.
So going across sectors, whether it's the Afro history, Indo history, Chinese history, etc., because all of those things inform of our culture.
Yeah.
And he has agreed to share some of his own perspectives as an expert on culture about where he sees queerness and homophobia placed and perhaps, you know, give us some academic and data-driven insights based on his research.
Right. Now, Rudy, jumping back, we are in 2023, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're in 2023. Compared to 2001 or even 2000, how would you rate homophobic in our culture? How would you rate it from 2000 to 2023?
23 years. I would say that it has become concentrated in certain pockets.
Mm-hmm.
So generally speaking,
I will
always admit that I think homophobia is on the decline.
Right.
I do think that our people, as with other prejudices, I mean, we always speak about the intersectionalities. There was a time when Douglas were shunned.
Right. Oh.
And I always say our generation, we are the Douglas generation.
Because
we all mix up and we all date in other people and our parents can't tell us nothing.
And even interracial dating, as well as you mentioned that, I remember that was looked down upon as well.
So if you use that as a juxtaposition, the same way that is being reduced, I think homophobia is also being reduced.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that because it is, I say it is like the last of the divisions in our society. It's like all the other divisions have sort of been processed.
Right.
So disability, woman versus men, youth, you know, it's like people have found mechanisms to break those down.
Right.
But homophobia and transphobia, they're like the sticking ones.
Right.
They're hard.
Right.
So in certain pockets where people in society are either not educated or they're socialized to hate.
Right.
It is becoming concentrated because they now are seeing the freedoms and the acceptance as a breakdown in society.
Right.
So they are now pushing back on that and trying their best to maintain the status quo.
Mm-hmm.
So they are getting more desperate and more violent.
Right. And I want to ask you, Rudy, we're in 2023 again.
Mm-hmm.
So even in the Kaisorama, the Calypsos and everything like that, we would be hearing lyrics regarding homophobia and regarding gays and lesbians and persons of the trans community.
Right.
Right? Why is it now, or what is your view on this? In 2023, every time you sing something like that with that lyrical content, it's deemed as a joke. Everybody laughing. But then, a few years ago, about 10 years ago, when you make songs like that or you sing lyrics like that, people watching it on the raising the eyebrow like, what is that? How did it go from being serious and, you know, looking at you as like, what kind of thing you're singing, to laughing at it? How? What's your take on it?
I think part of it is, one, people are they're uncomfortable.
Mm.
When people are uncomfortable with a subject or get nervous, they tend to laugh. So before, when it came up, there was a greater number of people who agreed with the essence of the Calypso.
Right.
They agreed that this was something that was to be shunned outright. So it wasn't even funny. It was serious. It was like, yes, I'm happy you're singing about that because we need to talk. It was just as serious as the politics.
Right.
Or serious about any other issue that the Calypsonians were singing about.
Mm.
Now, because there are so many more people who accept gay people, when they hear a calypso or a verse like that, they actually get turned off. So they don't even respond. They're like, that is nonsense. You're singing. It's like if someone were to create a calypso to speak about the place of a woman.
Right.
And they would be making fun about women in authority.
People will get vexed.
Or, yes. They would say, but in this case, people are now taking it for a joke, which I think is ironically serious, because when you don't understand possible harm you could cause, you're being irresponsible.
Right.
And for us to not take it seriously and to deal with it head on could result in violence or harm.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever we can't laugh at these things anymore.
Right.
We know better now.
Right. Because why ask that? Let me just call my time check. It's just about 3:30 here in Trinidad and Tobago. It's February 26th. It's an awesome day outside, guys. So anyway, so Rudy, what I was saying is that I want to make a comparison, because, you know, we were listening to Gypsy and Brian London's Spit of Spat. I will call it the Kaisorama, right? It's a war of words or something like that. And when Gypsy made the comment that, hey, thing, and your mommy this and whatever, and just tell you that your mommy was with me, but you with some man somewhere, everybody started laughing. And I said, okay, cool. But now I was listening to a calypso that was being sung. And this was in 2001 on the Humorous Calypso category competition. And the name of the song was I Was Dreaming, A Dreamin', right?
Yes.
And his lyrical content, it was so deep that I was not hearing anyone laughing, you know? So it made me start to think that back then, it was something like really serious. But now it's seen as a joke.
It's still seen as a joke to tell someone that they're gay. But also an insultive joke.
Well,
and
yeah.
That is the problem I have with it. That is like, again, it's like me saying to you, Carrie, you're behaving like a woman, eh?
Yeah.
Why is behaving like whatever you deem a woman to be? Mm. Why is that insulting? Mm. And that is the issue we're having. For leaders in society, for artists who have a responsibility to continue in this day and age. Mm. You see, long ago, you could understand to an extent.
Right.
But in this day and age, to still use that as your dig or your insult, to me, says that, one, I find it is amateurish.
Yeah.
Because of all the other things you could talk about, you could talk about his rhythm, you could talk about his content in the song, you could talk about how, you know.
Yeah. You could talk about the clothes he wearing.
But you want to throw at him something about his sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is a joke. So then when children do it in school,
mm-hmm.
what is it? When they bully children the same way,
and
is
that
it a joke?
That comes like if someone is bullying someone from that community.
And by the way, I want to shout out one of my best friends is listening all the way from Vancouver.
Hey, Vancouver, Kelly. Yours. Hi, Kelly.
So, no, it's very... And what she's saying in the text message is that from her point of view as well, religion has a part to play in it. Because, and I agree with her, because when you listen to some of queer people in religious spaces, people still use that as the worst sin.
Yeah, but sin is sin.
So they don't talk. Well, we talked about that last time. But the point is, I find that we need to elevate our art and culture.
Right.
And when you listen, when you're judging Calypso and you're judging Extempo, they all, when you listen to the criteria, they always talk about content. And maybe that is why Brian won.
Right.
Because I don't think... I mean, maybe we could refresh ourselves, but I don't think that Brian took it to that level.
Hmm.
I think he stayed above.
I
mean, he's still... And you see, it's not about not poking fun.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But I hope people are understanding.
It's a thin line.
Yes.
It have a thin line between fun and insults. To me, that's how I saw it as. And I thought that Gypsy was kind of grasping her, and he knows
that's
that
how it came across.
When you make statements like that, or when you make comebacks, as I would say, comebacks like that, people will be like, ooh, and you know, they might want to give him out. Yeah.
Yes,
because he knows
that.
How people feel about
That's exactly what, he's playing into the stereotypes.
Yeah.
That's something wrong with you because you like that.
Yeah. But how, I mean, we're going to go on a break, right, guys? Don't forget, you can call us 627-3223, 625-2257. You can even send us a WhatsApp message on 306-106. Right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we are going to be listening to some humorous Calypso,
yes.
Right?
But
from since 2001, right? When I play it, I want you all to listen to it carefully. And I really want to hear your views on it, right? I want to hear your views on it. We are also even going to play the short clipping of Gypsy and Brian London as well. And let's see if we can make a comparison. Don't forget, you can call me 627-3223, 625-2257. Let me know if you remember when you listened to that song.
And if you know of any others.
Yeah.
So let us know.
All right, guys. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, my WhatsApp message, 306-1065. So we're going to be right back. When we come back, it's much, much more. Keep it locked to Freedom 106.5 FM. This is Love is Love with Carrie V and Rudy Hanamji.
Government, listen to my call. Don't legalize homosexual at all. I beg in, listen to my call. Don't legalize homosexual at all. for last night I was dreaming. And what a dream it have me wondering. I dream something unusual. The government legalized homosexual. And I dreaming, man giving man bye-bye. Man watching man, sweet eye. Man giving man kiss. Man calling man mistress. I dreaming, man calling man doo-doo darling. Man watching man and blushing. I dream Jack Warner stooping down in a corner passing water. Believe me, I won't lie to you. I get the vision in me sleep for true. I ain't supposed to let you know, but I go tell you everything in me kaizo. After working very hard, coming home to rest, I feeling bad. And as I lie down on my bed, that dream will always live in my head. And I dreaming, man taking man for dinner. Man giving man the finger, man fighting for man, and they putting up wedding bands. I dreaming, man taking abortion, man taking fry balls operation, man in labor pain so woman can make style on man again. Calypsonian, they make me shame. Them and all was playing the game. I am spreading propaganda, but I have the business undercover. It was my inspiration to dream about them Calypsonians. But I'm going to tell you this, I never know Calypsonians was in slackness. And I'm dreaming, I dream crazy and barren, making love in the stadium. I dream Rio and Tony, they were going to a cocktail party. I dreaming Ronnie McIntosh and Marshall sleeping in a hotel. And I see in a dream Gypsy is UNC Calypso Queen. Ay, ay, ay. I remember the rain was falling and I was dreaming early in the morning. I jump off my bed and I start to cry because I know my spirit didn't tell a lie. That dream was a nightmare. It was really too much for me to bear. But my motivation is if that is a sign of things to come. And I'm dreaming, man writing man love letter. Man and man shack up together. I dream Robbie and Gillette making love on the internet. I'm dreaming man suffering from pregnancy. Morgan Joe getting pain in the toonie. I dream that marriage making baby for Ho Choi Charles.
Ooh. Oh my gosh.
That was a lot, huh? You didn't know I was a Calypso historian.
No, I didn't. But now I know. Now
you see
I know
the many
Rudy.
Colors of Rudy.
Wow. Rudy, no, it sounds a little funny, eh? It sounds a little funny, but
yes.
Coming to think about it. Now, guys, if you're wondering what that was, that was Brown Boy A Dreaming. That was from since 2001 in the Humorous Calypso category competition in 2001, right? And he was speaking about he dream that, you know, like they legalize the
sexuality,
right? LGBTQ and everything like that. But Rudy, I don't even know what to.
Now, would you believe me if I told you I was sitting in the audience that night?
No, would
I told you I've been. I love calypso. I love our culture. I like soca.
Right.
I love calypso.
Right.
And my friends could tell you that.
Mm.
I'm an old soul and I grew up listening.
Let me take this call.
We have a call.
Hi.
Hold that thought. Hi, good afternoon.
Hey, Olio, good afternoon.
Hey. Good afternoon.
If I tell Olio something, I now tune into the station and I listen.
Mm-hmm.
And Olio said I was 2001, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I mean, we knew about things like homosexuality then.
Mm. Right.
But not in the big way it is now.
No. Oh, mm-hmm. Right.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing about the calypso now, if you play some of them old calypsos, like money is no problem, and them things.
Right.
Or even relators, food price or market price, I think they call it.
Yes, I know that one, yes.
So if you play those kinds of calypsos, they're still as effective today as they were when they first came out, you know.
Yes.
Mm. Now the prices, the value dollar might change.
Right.
But the same is the same essence in terms of what the message is.
Right. So what you're saying, right? You're saying that they sing that just for likes and to win?
No, I think they sing it because it comes from the California is supposed to be a commentator, you know.
Ah.
So, caller, do you believe that is the general consensus of the people of Trinidad and Tobago? Is he reflecting the general heart and thoughts of the people?
Well, yeah, I mean, Californians are messengers, commentators, what you want.
Right.
Some of the Californians are very typical.
Mm.
You understand? And it may be telling of the future, which we might not want to dream of, we might not want to admit.
Right.
But that, to me, is reality.
Mm.
Understand? Now, when you go to the tents and when you go to the fets, it's two different kind of crowd.
No. Okay.
I have never been to a calypso tent, but I'm an ardent listener to the radio.
Right.
And in days of old, when they brought from the calypso tents, you would hear those kinds of humorous satire calypsos.
Mm.
And this is why I love humor calypso. I mean, it may be kicks in on people, as the people say.
Mm.
It may make it fun of people, but you had to take it with a pinch of salt.
Nice.
But caller, so let's take that point for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
If you're making a satire or a joke, agreed. However, if whether they intend it or not, their music leads to violence against queer people, would you agree with that?
No, I think it depends. Because
and that is the problem.
It depends. Now, there are certain types of music.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm no musicologist. I'm a good listener.
Right.
There are certain types of music, like certain types of reggae.
Mm-hmm.
And even calypso, jamming on the bamba, and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That is very suggestive.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And people will want to try these things. In the same way we watch a TV, and we see a stunt, and the young children want to try. They want to hang with a belt and all kind of
thing. Like Jet Li and all kind of thing. We just practice it. Right.
You understand? So, music is a reflection on society.
Mm.
You understand?
Mm.
Now, there are some message music, like Teddy Pendergrass is so good loving somebody when somebody loves you back.
Yeah.
That powerful message song, you one hand can't clap.
Right.
You understand?
But you know that Buju Banton has actually agreed that he will never sing his song Boom Bye Bye again.
I heard so.
So, what we are getting at is that, okay, 22 years ago, back then, we could live with, you know, we would put up with this kind of message.
Mm.
Yeah.
But in today's world,
it's a different ball game.
People have to be more responsible.
It's a different ball game.
Yeah. All right.
Thank
you so much for your contribution.
I couldn't resist.
No, that's all right. That's what we're here for.
That's all right.
And I feel one Sunday, humor, from what time is now? Let's come on. 3 o'clock?
3 to 5.
From,
3 to 5?
Mm-hmm.
Let me go. One Sunday humor, one Sunday political, one Sunday visionary.
Mm.
I think Nicola is giving us the other program that we have to create on 106.5, Carrie. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
All right.
Cool. All right. Have a good one. This is Freedom 106.5 FM, where you speak your mind. Guys, it's a lover's love. If you're now joining us, it's just about 3:50. And you can call me 627-322-3, 625-2257. I know we have someone coming up, Rudy. And after we come back from the break, then we will start that. But guys, right now we are speaking about our culture and homophobia. So before the caller, we were playing Brown Boy. And he was singing about a dreaming. Right? And that was in 2001. So you realize that in the background, you didn't hear much. They only laughed at the funny parts of the song. Right? Comparing to 2023, Rudy, with Gypsy and what's his name? London. Brian London. That wasn't even as much as how much Brown Boy was singing. But everybody lay your head like, you heard like a loud laugh, like, yak, 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 yak. You know? So my thing is it that we moving in a way where it's now not being taken seriously? And as according to what you said before, if someone comes and sing about rape and bring it in a humorous way, would people like that?
That's it. That's the question you have to ask. You have to sort of use those extreme analogies to make the point. That I remember, there are calypsos that come to mind where men sang very derogatory lyrics about women. And growing up, and you know, you're listening to it and you're dancing and having a good time. But as you get older and you are more educated, if a calypsonian or a soca artist were to use some of those lyrics today, people would pelt them off the stage, or promoters would ban them. So it really comes down to what is appropriate. And as the call, I like the exchange we had with the caller, because at the same time, we're not talking about censorship, but you have to look at your lyrics and you have to be more discerning about it. And you have to write lyrics that do not cross the line of encouraging people to look down on other people or reinforcing that kind of division. So if you want to make a song and you want to make a joke about, as you said, how maybe how what somebody's wearing, or the fact is that when people leave that experience, if they see someone in a similar hat or jacket,
right,
chances are they're not going to apply those lyrics to that person. They would leave it in the tent, or they would leave it at the show.
Yeah.
But in some cases, people will keep lyrics with them. So when they see a leader, a calypsonian, making fun of another calypsonian because he's saying he's queer, they will then feel that they could go out there and laugh at other people. With the same, and that is the problem. People are more like, I don't mind somebody laughing at me because my shoes looking jokey.
I would laugh at
but
you.
Don't laugh at me because I'm gay.
Yeah.
And that is the problem that we have with the song. So same thing for a woman or an ethnic person. Laugh at me because when I'm eating, I'm untidy.
Right.
You could say I'm eating like a pig. But don't laugh at me because I eat with my hands.
Right.
Or don't laugh at me because I wear, have a certain religion. We are living in a world where those things are beneath us now to make fun of.
But persons still hold on to it. So I don't know if they are afraid of change. And I know something that they always say is that, you know, we're trying to... that the LGBTQ community or a queer person trying to bring their way of living to themselves, to us. Let's take this call really, really, really quickly. Hi, good afternoon, you're live.
Hi, good day, Kari.
Hey, what's up?
Hi, good afternoon.
Just calling to say that queer people are some of the strongest souls that I have come across as friends.
This is Kadeem, by the way.
And we go through so much, and is a constant thing where our families disregard us. You know, friends, co-workers may laugh at us, say so much of things about us, you know, but we are really strong people, and I think that people still look at us as humans because we have feelings,
yeah,
we have family, we have a good heart,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I just want to say it's a good program, and thank
preach,
you so much.
My brother. Thank yes. you so much for
Thanks
that
so
call.
Much. No, and he's correct, you know.
There you go.
The most kindest, loving people. Are queer people, you know.
My friend Kelly, all the way in Vancouver, in mm-hmm. the deep cold of winter, she's sweating. Because I know Kelly's straight woman, married, but she's been an advocate. She grew up with her father's actually John Mendez.
Yeah.
One of Trinidad's foremost artists. He wrote the book Kotisi Kotila. And she would have grown up with queer persons around her.
Right.
John and Wayne Barclay were best friends.
Oh.
So Kelly learned early on from her family about acceptance and love.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was younger and we were friends, if anyone attacked me or harassed me, she would be one of my first defenders.
Right.
Because since then, she understood that you do not attack people for these kinds of things.
Yeah.
If somebody lies or they've committed a crime or they are taking advantage of somebody, you would stand up for that. But because they happen to be different to you and who they fall in love with, that is something you want to
attack
people for.
And then why is it an issue? Why is it an issue for you to fall in love with somebody of your choice? If I feel to fall in love with Rudy, I feel to fall in love with Rudy. And then you know what? You know what I've been telling a friend of mine? I've been saying, hey, you know, you can't stop yourself from loving somebody, you know. You ever try that? You ever try to stop loving yourself?
No,
stop.
I don't have that.
Stopping myself from loving somebody. Now, at the end of the day, and just as what the caller said before, we are all humans.
Yes.
They are all humans. Queer persons are humans as well. And first thing first, before they are queer, they are a human being. A human being that have feelings, a human being who loves people, who likes people,
so
that kind of thing.
So imagine, Carrie, if I sit down in the Marshgra or Kaisorama, and I hear that, and people all around me start to laugh, how will I feel?
You must feel
How would
way.
You feel? And that is what people don't understand. I told you, when Brown Boy sang that song, I was in Kaisorama with my mother. She used to take me to listen to these things. And back then, I wasn't as out as I am now. But
you knew how you felt.
And I felt very upset. And that was the first song for the night. So it set me off for the whole evening. Like, and people, you know, you feel uncomfortable now because you're hearing people in the audience supporting that and saying, you are not equal to us.
Yeah.
You should keep yourself, something is wrong with you.
Yeah.
So that is what people have to also think about. Do artists want to make their fans feel uncomfortable? Like, do you want me to be sitting down in a Calypso tent and you singing this, attacking somebody like me?
Yeah.
So, and for what? And that is the other question you have to ask. It's not the same as if you see a politician, for example, acting unethically.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason you would attack that.
Right.
Because that person is not doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Right.
But what is the reason for attacking queer people?
Because y'all are fabulous.
Well.
Yes. Yeah, well, we discussed that before. But I don't know what it is. And I don't know if any one of you all who are listening and, you know, who have a difference in views or difference in opinion, you could call us and let us know. Let's just have a discussion, because I really want to get in the minds of persons who think that way. I just want to know why. Why do you think that way? And now I'm not saying that. Now, let me just bring this out here one time. We're not forcing anything on anybody. We're just having discussions, because this is Freedom 106.5, where you speak your mind. And this is what is on our minds right now. Why? For the persons who are homophobic for the persons who are, you know, against or look down on queer persons. Why? Like, for what reason? Or let's get money or something, or let's get groceries. I don't know.
Maybe.
Know. Because, I mean, if that's the case, they were really, I want to block you and unfriend you. Well. You understand
know
what I'm saying?
Never do that. No,
of course not.
But it's a good question.
Yeah.
What is in it for you?
I don't
to
know.
To hate people.
All right. Guys, here's what. When we come back, we're going to jump straight into that interview with...
Yes, with Ruba Derry.
With Ruba Derry.
And I'm sure the callers will gain a lot of insight from
yeah.
him.
All right, guys.
So stay
so
tuned.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, it's much, much more. Keep it locked to Freedom 106.5 FM, where you speak your mind.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
It's just about 4 minutes past four. And welcome back. Freedom 106.5 FM. This is Love is Love with Carrie V and Rudy. Yes, man. Rudy, we're going on there. We're watching that.
The comments coming in. All our fans out there in Radio Land.
Hey, good afternoon. Going out to you guys. Thanks for keeping it locked to Freedom 106.5 FM. And on the line, we have...
Mr. Ruba Derry Victor.
Let me see if I get him here.
Ruba Derry, are you hearing us out there in Radio Land?
Yeah, I'm hearing you.
Hi.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon. And welcome to our
me?
Show. Yeah,
yes.
We're hearing you loud and clear.
Okay.
I must say, Carrie, we have to thank Ruba Derry because he's actually, I believe, at Piarco Airport signing books.
Ooh.
Ruba Derry, how is it going? You want to tell us a little bit quickly about the book and some of your other work and what's going on there at the airport today?
All right, but we did the book signings already.
Okay.
Actually, what we're going to do now is an elder friend of mine called Yvonne Bob Smith.
Yes.
She's 94 years old today.
Ooh.
And she's having a birthday ritual where she's going to observe the sunset at the Carenage Fish Fry. So she called all her closest friends to be with her on her 94th birthday as she observed the sunset. And so we're there to go and record the entire event and that kind of stuff. Myself and Dexter Brong. So myself and Dexter Brong are the two authors of the books that we were signing at the at Priyako. So we have a four-part series of books called the Undisturbed Culture series. These are like almost 400-page coffee table photographic books.
Wow.
They're collector's items. They're like $1,000 a copy.
Oh.
And they each deal with different sites of culture. So the first one is a love song to our hometown, Carenage. And it looks at the fishing village and the people of Carenage and the forces of globalization, industrialization, and gentrification that are changing the entire coast and the people. The second book is called Street, which looks at street culture all over the world, where Dexter's international photographer, celebrity, and street photographer.
Uh-huh.
The third book, Dexter also photographs some of the most beautiful women in the world, actresses like Gabrielle Union and the, you know, that Vanessa Williams and all that whole Black Hollywood crew.
Amazing.
Black sportswomen, porn stars, supermodels,
our people.
Yes.
So it's a book and we are testing in that book the thesis that Trinidad and Tobago women are the most beautiful women in the world.
Of course we are.
That's a test.
Of course.
That's still out for debate.
I didn't know that was out for debate. Most beautiful women. So we
Yes, we are.
Two for two, you know, against those women. And then the final book is called Undisturbed LA, which is the decade that Dexter spent in LA photographing all the Hollywood mainstream overground, as well as photographing the gangs of LA, the Crips and the Rolling 60s and stuff, and where he was a mentor for Nipsey Hussle.
Nipsey Hussle?
And yeah, he was Nipsey Hussle's primary mentor during that period, the 7 years.
And I encourage people to Google Nipsey Hussle and look at YouTube videos of Nipsey. Wow.
That's nice.
So, Ruby, where can they get copies? Is it available online or at a bookstore here or through you?
You can check out the Undisturbed Culture Facebook page. Okay. And see, and you can order the books from us. As I said, it's limited editions, and they're all numbered, and once they're gone, they're gone.
Right.
Okay.
And so you can give us a buzz. And
nice.
All right, well, I'm going to pick one up myself.
Yeah, so we will do that.
70949, you can order.
Say that again? Say that one more time.
7970949.
Nice.
There you go, peeps.
That's for you guys.
But Rubidors, because of this type of work, in fact, that we thought you would be one of the best persons to have a short conversation, because, and I introduced you earlier during the opening of the program,
right?
Explaining to listeners the context in which you operate in terms of your deep understanding of our history, the formation of our culture, and some of the gaps that, you know, you've been fighting for and advocating for. So, as I shared with you today, Carrie and I, we're trying in 2 hours, to, as best we can, to unpack some of the intersectional issues related to our carnival.
Right.
And queerness.
Right.
You know, where does queerness find itself in that space?
In our culture.
In our culture.
Yeah.
Right.
And why is there this dichotomy? Carrie was asking the question earlier. It seems that we conveniently accept it when only, we want to.
Only for the carnival season.
And then...
So what I was saying, let me just elaborate ahead. Some more, Rudy. So what I was saying is that for Juve and sometimes Carnival Monday, we would have men dressing in women wear with wigs and dresses and nighty and them kind of thing. And everybody will find it so cool and normal.
And then you have the Dame Lorraine character.
Right. And then even on Christmas, I think there's a Christmas morning, there's a popular football show with, it's called Men in Heels.
Yes.
So the men would play football in heels and dresses. And right. That would be seen as
Lara,
cool.
That's Santa Cruz by Lara.
Yeah. So, but what we're saying is that if persons look at these things and say, hey, they're real cool and it's normal and everything like that, but then on a different day outside of Carnival and outside of Christmas Day, they look down on queer persons or even trans persons as well. So what we wanted to find out, you being who you are and, you know, having that wealth of knowledge and of our culture and everything like that, how does queer persons fit into our culture? What's your view on that?
Well, I mean, I'm a straight man who is a friend and advocate for LGBTQ people.
Mm-hmm.
I advocate and empathize for the civil rights issues around LGBTQ people and all those issues. So, I mean, so that is my entry point as also a historian and an artist. The thing is that so the thing that we talk about is something about the reversals that happen during certain types of folk festivals, right? So during certain types of folk festivals, and you can see that emerge from kind of medieval societies, there's a day of reversals, which Carnival is part of, one of those types of festivals.
Mm.
So on those days of reversals, the pauper can play the prince and vice versa. The men play women, the women play the men, you know. And all those kinds of reversals are allowed on that day. So it's a way for that day to kind of equalize and neutralize things in the society that are not allowed and where license is given, or where license is taken, I should say. So you would find that kind of transvestitism as part of a lot of those types of festivals all over the Western world and medieval societies during festivals like that, right? And so it should bear in mind also that mm-hmm. you always talk about some parts of the Camberley riots. When
right.
the Camberley riots happened in the 1890s, followed shortly by the Jose riots, there were a whole set of, we always talk about the victory part of the Camberley riots. I, in the sense that the Camberley riots was the first time that the modern Trinbagonian people, that's the beginning of modern Trinbago, where people spilt blood for something called a Trinbagonian identity.
Wow.
This is, of course, if we say that the first Trinbagonians, of course, are the Native Americans, the Kalinaga and the Warao, Trinidad, having the oldest fossils of human beings in this part of the world, the Banwari man fossils, 7,000 years old. But the new Trinbagonian, post the meeting of the world, where you have, for the first time, some people saying that they were going to risk on something called a Trinbagonian identity and spill blood over it. And so these were the people at the east port of Spain who were saying that this thing called Carnival and Cambole that they were doing was worth shedding blood for, worth dying and shedding blood for. And that's the beginning of the real, not independence and not republic and that kind of stuff. That's the beginning of the real Trinidad and Tobago. And one of the things that were banned right after that, so stick fighting was banned, drumming was banned.
I remember stick fighting was a thing.
Yeah. The other thing that was banned was the transvestitism. So from that moment on, men could not dress as women anymore in the carnival.
What'd you call that again? What was it?
From that men could not dress as women again in the carnival. That was explicitly banned alongside stick fighting, alongside drumming, alongside whole face masking. So it's to tell you how the colonial authorities thought that kind of reversal was, right? As dangerous as those other things, so gender switching and those kinds of things was as dangerous as the more violent aspects of assertion of identity. So I'm just saying that to say that all of those things were in play at that moment in our history and emerging. But it's important to understand that the kind of code switching that you see in Dam Lauren and a lot of those kind of folk masquerades where men were playing women, it's not quite the kind of transvestitism that we know in the West, right? So this is not like gay men or queer men playing themselves. These are heterosexual men putting on the garb of women for whatever those reasons in terms of in entering into that gender identity
into that
spirit of that thing, because most of those things are ancestral spirit masks.
Right.
That's what they were playing. They were playing ancestral spirit masks.
Okay.
And that's where the Dam Lauren and those kinds of masks come from. They're actually ancient, thousands of years old ancestral mask so they're playing divine mothers and those kinds of things. So that's what those transvestite those gender swapped things were. So I'm just putting that into context,
right?
You know, because in the West now, it's, you know, drag and that kind of stuff, and men putting on female clothes is a completely different kind of energy and a different thing than it would have existed in older societies, which is not to say that they didn't have, of course they would have had homosexuality and transvestitism and those kinds of things, but that was not the space that those things happened in. In fact, as you might know, in a lot of older societies, the LGBTQ people were placed in particular secret societies where they had particular, I'd say, roles.
Right.
Right? And they would have very, very particular types of masquerades and very particular kinds of energies and stuff that they were said to be closer to. And they were, you know, so they were respected in that space in terms of they had their space and they had their place inside the society. So is this to make the difference between the contemporary manifestation of those forms in the West and how they would have existed in, let's say, ancestral Africa or Native America?
That is an important distinction, and to share with people history, because over the last few months we've been having these conversations around these topics. Of course, religion has come into the mix, and we made the point that you reference like the First Peoples in some of their belief systems. They actually acknowledge the duality of the masculine and the feminine. And I have heard the First Peoples talk out about homophobia and the fact that when Catholicism came, it taught them to be homophobic, which they weren't before.
And yeah,
things like that came up.
Remember that the older peoples in the world did not fall on to the kind of binary kinds of identity and symbolification of the world that the West has, right? So these hard and fast kind of things of black and white, male, female, and those kinds of things. A lot of gods and godheads were androgynous, or they were both male and female, because they represent all the different essences of the universe. And so it's the gendering of those things in real hard and fast roles is a very Western thing, right? So you know, so again, it might be dangerous to also say, because you know, you hear people talk now about older gods and stuff, and they talk about being hermaphroditic or you know, transsexual or different kinds of things, but they were beyond gender for those people. They weren't. That's a kind of Western kind of corruption of the role and the power of those because they did not have those kind of gendered kinds of identities and all the different charges that gender has in the West, and they weren't repressed around sexuality in the same way that the West is. Like infinitely, you know, repressed around sexuality, so that sexuality, when it does emerge, emerges in all kinds of skewed kinds of ways, because it was not allowed, you know. And so, you know, just it's always important to say, okay, this is the West, and these are other societies, and the way that they dealt with the idea of sexuality, gender, homosexuality, transsexuality, you know, all those different kinds of identities and stuff.
And you see, you know, Gary, how complex the discussion can get.
Yeah.
And especially in a colonial space where there's an attempt to colonize the history of First Peoples and oppressed peoples and that kind of stuff, and recontextualize it and use it for any and everybody's plaything. And so, you know, there's constant battle and resistance by people to reclaim their histories for its integrity, its original integrity, and, you know, for it not to be involved in the West and all its various dramas.
Ruby dear, before we let you go, we were also talking about the layer that sort of treads in the censorship zone. So, for example, years ago, artists may have felt empowered, and we were referencing like Buju, for example, with Boom Bye Bye.
Right.
And now years later, he himself has said he will not perform the song. So even in the Calypso fraternity, years ago and up to the Kaisorama this year, you know, queerness was still being positioned as something that you look down on or you laugh
at.
Yes.
For violence and that kind of stuff.
So again, given your ability to explain it, what we are saying is we're not asking for censorship, but what would be, especially for younger people who are penning calypsos and want to get into the realm of satire, etc., what would be some of the guideposts that sort of help them navigate that thin line between satire and violence in terms of, you know, verbal violence or encouraging troops and so on, misperceptions, etc.
So, I mean, first of all, let's make some big statements and say that in the West, in certain parts of certain corridors of art and culture, there are a lot of LGBTQ practitioners that, let's say in theater, in dance, you know, there are a lot of male homosexual men and men of various LGBTQ persuasions and those kinds of things. That a lot of the work that people enjoy, creative work on the planet, from music to theater to movies to songs to paintings to photography, all kinds of things were created by LGBTQ practitioners, some of the greatest artists of all time.
Right.
So that's important to just put that out there, that even in the shadows, and even though it's not being said out loud or whatever, those kinds of things, that all of those people are participating in creative traditions which are part of LGBTQ identity and creativity and that kind of stuff. So, the very same dancehall artists may be riding on beats created by LGBTQ producers, and they don't even know. You know, some of them may even be that themselves.
You see?
And,
yeah.
You know, so the thing is that, so we know that the identity is there. There are people all, I mean, because it knows no bounds. There are gay people and LGBTQ people all over. So it's important to know that that's the field that we're talking about. And that in that sense, then, it's kind of ridiculous to discriminate in those kinds of fields, because the mere field that you're standing on is made partially by that community that you want to discriminate against.
Right.
Now, the complexity of the thing in the Jamaican situation and some of those situations is some of the... When I went to Barbados and Jamaica and started to travel the Caribbean a little bit, I began to understand a little bit more about the violence of the kind of homophobic kind of energy in those things, where it was clear that one of the ways that colonial Western white supremacist powers were using to destroy those communities was to emasculate the black men there in dozens of different kinds of ways. And I remember going into a community in South Jamaica, and it mirrored one that was also in Barbados, where it was, you know how we had the kind of tourists, the Tobagonian boy toy, tourist boys for the German female German tourists. This was an entire enclave of black boys who were playthings of rich men. It was a kind of shocking kind of thing to see, because you know Jamaica and all that kind of stuff, you know. But there was also a lot of, it seemed like, underage stuff going on. There was a whole set of stuff, you know. And you have to understand that a kind of warrior culture like Jamaica, that that kind of gendered, because look, white supremacy uses every single weapon at its disposal to destroy identity and destroy people's spirits and do those kinds of things. And one of the things that they did in to break those kinds of warrior societies was to engage that kind of neutering of males and that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? They used to do with castration,
right,
and all those other kinds of things. But also in those kinds of things, homosexual rape, all those kinds of things. And part of that knee-jerk kind of violent, kind of homophobic stuff in Jamaica was a kind of just as poor as grassroots, isn't guided as it is, but that kind of violent grassroots resistance to being emasculated. This is not to say, not to defend it in its worst form, because it's worst form that has murder. But the thing is that the packet, we're going to have to unpack white supremacist colonialism. We can't unpack it simply as a kind of, you know, male, female, anti-gay, homophobic kind of stuff. It is a reaction to a colonial weapon being used against a captive population. And so, again, we have to start to talk about that stuff in all the way if we are going to solve the problem, you know. So it requires sensitivity on both sides, on the side of heterosexual people who are dealing with ideas of gender and that kind of stuff, which they have now been inside 500 years of it, you know, in the West. So they have to deal with those, with that. But it's also on the side of LGBTQ people, they will have to also understand that, you know, in terms of black malehood and black community and Pan-African resistance, where some of that violence and resistance. So it's a complex issue.
And then you
have the marketplace fetishizing that violence and rewarding people for that violence as a identity.
Yes.
So it's just like gangsterism.
Yeah.
Right? So I would say probably less than 10% of the musicians proclaiming to be gangsters are actual gangsters.
Yeah.
Right. But they have to perform
as if they are
performative.
Because
gangsterism is being put on black people by Western industry as the only authentic way towards male identity and authenticity. So you cannot be a black man unless you're a gangster.
Unless you're
right. Wow. So it's like you can't be an authentic black man unless you are working class and a gangster.
Not ridiculous.
You have to, and so all these are violences against the complexity of human identity.
Yeah.
You know, because as I said, 90% of those fellas who perform in that music is probably middle class men who who say, I mean, on all kind of stuff, or working class guys who's artisans and what, you know, whatever, gay men but they have to perform that identity and sing for their dollar.
And we see that trauma a lot in the community, where a lot of men are forced to engage in that performance, that performative behavior, and it eats away at their souls.
Yeah.
Of course, because it's not you.
Yeah.
And the thing is about music, of all the arts, as a person, I work in 8 mediums. And music is the one that is closest to the soul.
Yeah.
It's the one that is closest to the skin. And imagine having to be dishonest in that particular form.
Hmm.
You know, 24/7, 365.
Yeah.
Especially like if you are a hip hop artist or dancehall artist or one of those things where the very code of the modern form means that you must be that 24/7. If you last for half a second, if somebody sees a song,
you lose everything.
What they say is soft for half a second.
Mm.
You're going to be punished for it.
So.
And well, look at him.
Yeah.
He was crying. Or look at him. He was touching. He was touching his girlfriend tenderly.
Yeah.
Or look at him. He was wearing
laugh.
Or look at him. He was. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And all of those, you're punished for all of those things, and all of that is artificial Western
identity
and that stuff that has nothing to do with humanity.
Yeah. But
in a post-colonial situation, those things are violence in themselves,
yeah,
because they're destroying a community of black people who cannot get to their authenticity because they have to perform these illusions to be in the marketplace.
Yeah. But there, it's time for us to wrap up our discussion. But before we go, I want to ask you your view. Do you think that there's an inclusion now of LGBTQ persons or even queer persons in our cultures?
I say that it will only happen, like in any civil rights movement, through civil action and through the action of brave people. So in the same way that there were the Rosa Parks and the Martin Luther's and the Malcolm X's and the Makandal Dagas and the, you know, Kwame Ture's, Marcus Garvey's, you need gay activists and LGBTQ activists and stuff to come out of the closet, to stand proud in their skin and to declare themselves. So that's why, you know, Peter Minshall is so important. You know, why yourself and others are so important, because that power of being able to just to have your face touch sunlight as yourself is such a phenomenal revolutionary act. And more that happens, you know, the more and more those who are suffering in silence can be able to claim their wholeness, and which is the first part of the revolution, you know, and you have all the legislative and all the other kind of stuff that has to unpack and be rolled back and all that other kind of stuff.
No.
But the first act is, you know, the people being able to walk the streets as themselves.
Yeah.
I love that.
And
that wholeness.
That has been happening and may continue to happen more and more. And so that, you know, what we want is a world where people are allowed to walk in their skin as they are.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, we really also have to thank allies and persons like yourselves who walk the path with us. We all have to do it together, and there's so many intersectionalities. Maybe we'll have you back again to discuss.
We had to talk more because it's a lot.
It's a lot to unpack, and we can do it together. You have to laugh sometimes, otherwise you'll cry. But thank you so much, Rubadiri, for your time, for taking the, you know, a few moments to share with us and our listeners. And please send our love to Yvonne. We're so happy she's still with us and, you know, can celebrate that milestone.
Yes.
So we'll send positive vibrations to you and her and the rest of the team and Dexter. We'll be sure to continue to promote the books for you, and I'll be in touch.
All right,
thank you so much.
Thank you for the work that you are doing.
Of
you
course,
too.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
Wow.
Woo!
Carrie?
Like I know what
I
history
told
class,
you.
Know?
Well, I hope our listeners appreciate here on 106.5 Freedom FM, you're getting in-depth analysis. This is not a talk shop that is on the surface. You
and
know.
The thing is, he went so in-depth that I did not even think.
It down.
I didn't even think it would have reached that far.
But that is how far it goes. That is how far all of this goes.
Guys, if you're now joining us, this is Freedom 106.5 FM, where you speak your mind. This is Love is Love with Carrie V and Rudy Hanamji.
I think I need a little break.
Yeah, we are. We're going to add it to Soki and Kusume, that whole
Kusume.
Thing. Yeah, Kusume. Yes. So, guys, don't forget, when we come back, we're going to be taking your calls. Let us know your opinion on the interview that we just had. 627-3223, 625-2257. And you can even send us a WhatsApp message on 306-1065. It's Rudy and Carrie V. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it's much, much more. Keep it locked to Freedom 106.5 FM, where you speak your mind.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
Chutney Pride in Queens, New York, with the legendary, amazing Calypsonian soca artist who's paved the way for many soca artists as well as Caribbean artists here within the diaspora as well as back home, Calypso Rose. She has recorded over 800 songs. Hi, highlight 800 songs, as well as recorded 20 different albums, has been acclaimed. People have said this woman is amazing, all the way from Trinidad and Tobago to Morocco, which is the most recent thing. I am so honored. When I tell you honored, I am a soca head to be here with the Calypsonian, Calypso Rose. So how did you become involved with Chutney Pride?
Well, I did a show last weekend at the fabulous Gentings Casino in Aqueduct, and the guy approached me and said, "We want you for the gay lesbian Johnson show on Saturday, the 27th. Mm-hmm. Would you be able to?" I said, "Of course, because I am one. And I cannot deny coming to perform for my people."
When you say you're one, meaning you're part of the LGBT community or you're a supporter?
I am gay and I'm a supporter of gays. I've been married to a woman for the past 17 years, which September this year.
Congratulations.
We'll be 18 years. And I'm not ashamed or afraid to say it right now. And that's the reason I'm here tonight, to give my sons, my daughters, my brothers, my sisters the support they need in the community.
Now, with Chutney Pride, their goal is to unite everybody with the Caribbean.
Not only the Caribbean, because the Latin, way down Argentina, way down in Costa Rica, way down.
Right.
They are here. And what I've seen tonight is so unique. Because I told my niece who had brought here tonight, I have never been to a Halloween party in my life.
Really?
72 years of age, and it's the first time I've been to a Halloween party, and especially our gay, lesbian, gender, bisexual. It is a great, fantastic night. I enjoy myself. Let me tell you, and I am the voice to speak out. I want to thank Mr. Bloomberg, and I want to thank the mayor and the governor of New York State for letting us voice people. Because for years, our people have been clamoring and living a silent life, which is so painful. Now we are here, surviving and alive. And I'm happy that I am on the program with this day.
Ginger tea.
Oh,
and there you have it, Rudy.
Live and queen herself.
Yeah, Calypso Rose.
So, Calypsonians have no excuse.
Wow.
You heard it from somebody's own mouth, as Rubidiri was saying.
Mm-hmm.
She came out. She said it there.
And this was in 2012, guys.
Yeah.
If you didn't know, it was usually 2012.
I mean, I know people who've known her for a long time, and she's never really hidden it.
Oh.
So it's not like she was, walking around with this big secret. People knew.
No, well, I didn't know.
But for her to say it, as Rubidiri said, it shows that she sees the responsibility as someone, as a leader in an art form that was dominated by men.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember hearing stories about, how women would be treated. I think it was Destra who said in one of her first gigs they didn't even have a place for her to change her clothes because they didn't think that, a woman would need a separate,
Mm-hmm.
So it's really heartwarming, but at the same time, as she said there, there's so many people who still can't come out.
Yeah.
But we have our icons in place. They've been contributing. They've been representing Trinidad and Tobago. So why should we turn our back on them and on younger people who want to just contribute? Why are we making them still feel like second-class citizens?
Yeah. But I am in awe, because what we were speaking about culture and homophobia. And we were speaking about the I would call it ridiculous jokes, because that is what I see it. I see it as they are making fun of queer persons, but I'm just saying, right? And for Calypso Rose, someone as Calypso Rose, the queen of Calypso, she came out and she encourages persons to come out as well. Now, I just saying, she probably would have been maybe hiding it for a long time until she just say, hey, what? It's time for me to get up and be myself, and she said it there.
She said it there. And with regards to our culture and queerness, I think that we are moving away from, from it being hidden. In terms of, like, I was watching Carnival Monday and Tuesday, and I was seeing men in, like real short.
Which, long ago, things. Would have been a no-no,
it
right?
It would have been a no-no.
Whether they're gay or not.
Yeah.
These could be straight men, but they're starting to, the same way women have embraced their sexuality and their bodies, men are doing the same thing now.
Yeah.
There are men who wear makeup now.
Huh?
There are men who fix their hair.
Well, yes.
There are men who moisturize their bodies.
Mm.
Things that...
With the spas and things.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they go and have their facials done with their beards. And so what are you going to say? That something wrong with that? Because the man want to look nice?
627-3223-625-2257. Hey, and you can even send us a WhatsApp message on 306-1065. We have a call. Let's see who's there. Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You're live.
Welcome.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Hey, everybody. What's up? What's going on?
All right, man. I hear talking about the culture.
Yeah.
Yeah. I won't. Why I've been there talking to her?
Aye.
Yeah, I own mask, man. I work on Grand Mass happening already. And Queen costume, Best Village, Queen, you know, you name it.
But let me ask you something, Mr. Wirebender, we'll call it that, right?
Yeah.
What's your thoughts or your views on homophobia and our culture?
The culture, I mean, the mass and the Californian and them. I remember Californian and them used to slick the hair, you know, like woman, you know.
Yeah?
Yeah, you know Blakey?
Yes.
Yeah, Blakey. I know Blakey used to slick the hair. Shit.
And did that stop you from listening to him or enjoying his calypsos?
Yes, and he was a great Californian.
There you go. So it didn't matter to you?
Nah, it didn't matter to me. Because, you know, there are more plenty of Californians who used to suck their hair.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, and people used to say there is woman, but there was no woman. That was the style.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I know them from little fellas, you know? But something I wanted to find a thing that...
Tell me.
You know, the pan will now. You know, when I was a younger fella, it had plenty band in Trinidad and Tobago, the most band in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know that.
Well, I heard so, you know.
Yes, that's plenty like Tripoli, Panam North Stars, you know. And, you know, plenty of them ban and then and it don't exist no more. I find the steel ban and all the ban and them, you know, they don't last.
Yeah.
And plenty ban now going through because we had plenty steel ban in Trinidad and Tobago. And steel ban used to play big mass.
Yeah.
Mass like Desperados and Tokyo and them.
Right.
Tokyo used to play well, African mass. And we don't see that no more. Yeah, if you check it out.
Yeah,
you don't see them thing no more, the steel band and them. I say, they die now, they come like the Californian.
Lord.
Like Oiland, Naipa and all of them, we don't hear them.
The youths and them not getting involved.
Yeah, we hear new kind of thing, but... It must be there because remember Spoiler and all of them gone through and Sparrow and all of them take over.
Yeah.
Now Sparrow and them gone through now, so we have a new singers now.
Yeah.
Yeah, the new thing, so you go up, but the steel band. You understand? The steel band dying bad. If I use steel band, they should help them steel band because if the big band is last, like Desperados, All Stars, Tokyo, not Tokyo, Renegades and all them bands.
All the bigger ones.
Sponsors will help them.
But them small bands.
Band and them, they have no help. That way you see they had a clash. Look, Tokyo, mostly the oldest band, called Tokyo, and they don't exist no more, you know? So I find they should try to help them, steel band and them, you know?
Yeah.
Something they help. to keep the culture going.
I agree, Carrie. Mm. Well, thank you for that, caller.
Thank you for making that clarion
because we need to support our culture and arts.
And always possible, Rudy.
Yes.
Always.
And we need to support the people
who
are contributing.
Hey, you know, I was just thinking about, as the caller mentioned, right? Blakey or Blackie slicking his hair. Uh-huh. After we take this call, you know, the garlic sauce man. What's his name again? Garlic sauce. The man in a onesie. What's his name again?
With his daughters.
I forget his name, but him.
All rounder.
The man was in a onesie. In a tight onesie, leather, purple, and he had blonde hair like a toupee. Yes. You understand? How is it so? Hi. Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Love is Love.
Hi. Good afternoon. Good afternoon to you.
Hey, what's up?
I'm okay. So I'm a first-time listener to your
podcast. Oh, welcome.
Oh, no. Thank you. So I find the conversation really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say the person who put me out for my wedding, it was a gay guy. I will not say the name of the tour, so he was but darling, he put me out. The person who cooked my food was a gay guy. And her name the person who did my makeup was her. And you loved it.
You didn't?
Well, of course.
You didn't say, well, I don't want to eat that food.
And let me tell you something. I always tell people at the end of the day, I am not to judge anyone.
Mm.
God is the one who judge. Mm. I am not the judge. You love who you love. You like what you like. You live how you want to live. That is me.
Mm.
My view, my personal view. And, you know, other people will have different views pertaining to this issue.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I am saying all this to say, and I would like for you to respond when I do say this.
Mm-hmm.
I am saying, and a lot of people are having an issue with, that the minute you have an opinion concerning the LGBT community, you all take high offense. And let me tell you, I even have gay friends. Some of them even say, well, you know, all right, let's say, somebody might make a little statement or somebody may make a statement. You all, the community, let me just say you all, the community will have an issue because of someone say something or have an opinion against the community or to the community. Oh. I don't know if you're getting where I'm going.
Yeah, yeah.
I think so.
Right. So what I am saying, a lot of people really have an issue with the community that ordinary people who want to have an opinion about the community. A lot of straight people will be saying, so what happened? We cannot have an opinion about this. We cannot have,
right.
And we even seen it in America. Okay, so that's a simple something that I was sort of like following with Don Lemon,
yes,
right? Where he makes some reference to some, I think, if you follow what he stepped down for, to me, I find, you know, it really didn't call for it, because of my opinion. And a lot of people have an issue with the community.
Yeah.
Whereby you cannot, if you say anything about
it, will offend them. It will offend
you all. I don't want to say you all.
We understand.
So you understand?
Yes. Yeah.
You're speaking generally. Yes.
Right. So, as I said, I love you all.
Hmm.
I have nothing against the LGBT community. Now, this, I will just say this before I leave.
Mm-hmm.
This whole situation with Dwayne Wade's son, I will still
Dwayne Wade,
his son. Mm-hmm. Whether he made a change or whether the child decided, whether the child said to the parent, okay, I want to change my name to Zia or I want to change my name to Cindy.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are saying, okay, wait, until the child is of the age to make,
Their own decision. Right.
Yeah, so you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that
yeah?
is a fair position
right.
to take,
and
actually.
My view, my personal view is the child, okay, he is who he is, he know how he feels inside, so on and so on. My personal view to it, he could have waited, the parent, with
yeah.
his wife, mm-hmm. Gabriel, could have give that child, put them to sit down and say, hey, this is what you feel, this is what you know, this is, okay. Give it some time, wait until they're about 18 and move
and
on.
And then
they
can make the drastic change.
Yeah, so this, and a lot of people have an issue with that. Now, some people may have an opinion about it, but then you will have some people coming down on them and saying, oh, why saying that? About it, and you're having chance. No, no, no. Everybody is entitled to an opinion, and you know. But I must say, I love your program. I love
you. Thank you very much.
Thank
for
you so
calling
much.
That.
Yes, so you guys, you have, what's your name? What's your name again?
This Rudy and Carrie V.
Oh, Rudy and Carrie V.
Yes.
Okay. So I think I will look to you all on Instagram. You're on Instagram and in social media?
Well,
you know?
Yes, of course. Rudy, tell her your handles.
It's easy. R-U-D-T-T.
R-U-D-T-T. So you're going to see. I will pop up and
okay.
I will just and, introduce myself.
And Carrie is Carrie V.
Carrie V. Just like that.
You know, R-U-D-T-T.
Kiki. And Carrie V.
So I'm going up on Instagram now and look
for yes.
Thank you so
what
much.
You can do as well, go up on Instagram and look up Freedom 106.5 FM
yes.
and follow them as well.
Oh, no problem.
And you will see us popping up.
You have a beautiful
you too. Oh, yeah. Remain blessed.
Thank you so
and
much.
Beautiful.
I'm going to like to hear your opinion and you
yes,
a little
I
more
certainly.
I'll be grateful. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank
bye
you
bye.
So much. Have a good one. Thank you so much
wow.
for that contribution.
You see?
And this is the kind of conversation I could deal with.
Yes.
Without having, you know, insultive words being thrown at person. I can't take that. Right? But thank you so much,
yes.
caller, for your contribution.
And Carrie, I will go out on a limb and say that in relation to the issues that children are involved in,
mm-hmm.
I do believe that, I mean, every parent has to parent their children.
Mm.
And it's difficult to get involved in that. But I do believe that children need to be given time to settle.
Right.
Now, some children mature faster than other children, mentally, physically,
yeah.
etc. So there are children who know a lot more and are more settled at earlier ages.
Mm-hmm.
But I personally shouldn't take drastic measures or decisions that are difficult to reverse
mm-hmm.
until you are sure that the child is of an age where they are able to really make that life-altering decision.
Mm-hmm.
In relation to the other issue, we've said here on the program before that queer persons ask for compassion and we also have to practice compassion.
Yeah.
As Ruba Derry said earlier, these things are so complex and complicated that there are times when people say and do things and have opinions that require discussion.
Right.
And if they jump out at you violently and you respond in like manner, then where are we going?
Nowhere.
All of us will kill
but
out each other.
The caller made a point, and I understand it from that perspective, because she says that, you know, once somebody, because you would have your opinion on something, Rudy, I would have my opinion on something. And let's say, for instance, if my opinion is different to your opinion, especially someone who is from that community, what she's saying, and I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, what she's actually coming out to me and saying is that, you know, persons from the queer community would get offended.
Yes.
You know, and not like understand that everyone have their own opinion on something.
I always say you can't, well, we're talking carnival. You can't play mass and frayed powder, right?
True.
So you want to, you put yourself out there or you're on social media or what have you, and people use their freedom of expression. Now, of course, if someone makes a threat to your life, for example, the police will intervene. That's, they will have to stand the consequences of their actions. But you, for yourself, have to to some degree understand where all of this is coming from. And in, for example, there are adults in society who were taught to be prejudiced as children, and they acted it out in the schoolyards, as we've said before, by bullying other people. And the same approach goes for persons who are victims of, let's say, racism. So someone learns as a child that other persons from different ethnic backgrounds are beneath them, and they act in that manner or speak in that manner. The person that they are attacking or about whom they have an opinion, we have to work with those persons and empower them and equip them with the tools for them to be able to process that attack, that microaggression, and be able to engage in a different way. And I mean, I'm speaking with my privilege, of course, that it's easier for some of us to do it. But at the end of the day, if you are on social media and you want to share your opinion about how people live their lives, I've said it openly. I've said that I find straight people are terrible parents and destroying marriage.
Some of them.
So I say, well, the evangelicals want to say gay people destroying marriage.
Hmm.
Well, who destroy marriage first? Hmm. Queer people or straight people?
Well, I think that's
my opinion. But
yeah. But I mean, and then again,
so what? All my straight friends will jump down my throat and say, "What happened to you?" You have to have conversation.
Yeah, and I think that's what we're trying to do here on Freedom 106.5 FM. We are trying to engage in having that discussion and that conversation, that elephant in the room that yes. Nobody wants to say, "Hey, let's get this elephant out." You understand what I'm saying, Rudy? So I mean,
and I think today showed that mm-hmm. people want to have the conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe we'll have to have a part two
of
this conversation.
Well, yeah. Well, we could do that every Sunday.
From 3 to 5. On 106.5.
Hey, guys, it's just about 5 minutes past
Ooh,
5.
We're
and
on
this
the
is,
hour.
Yeah, and this is where we get up and get going because, you know, Rudy and I can't stay with you guys forever. I'm crying.
We have to go and play Mass.
Again. Yeah.
When was last jam?
Last jam was in like Ash Wednesday.
No,
yes, Saturday.
Oh, I thought you was going.
No. You see, 2024 are outside.
We outside.
We out.
I did it.
And Rudy, I feel you could put some feathers on a costume for me. You look like that kind of artistic type. Yes. No.
Yeah, I can do that. I can help you out with that one.
Oh my gosh, guys. On behalf of my co-host, Rudy Hanamji, I'm Carrie V, and we are closing this episode of Love is Love. Catch us next week, Sunday, same time, same place on Freedom 106.5 FM, where you speak your mind. So, guys, we're going to, Ayo Pancho. Ciao. Later. Novemo. Where's the next one? Where's the next song?
Adios.
Adios, amigos. Okay, bye.
Ciao,
see you guys.
Bye.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.